We wanted to catch up with what's happening in the medical world as pharmaceutical companies race to come up with a vaccine for COVID-19. Michigan figures largely in those plans, but concerns have cropped up in recent weeks about the safety of at least one of the trials. Jay Green is a senior reporter at Crain's Detroit Business. He covers healthcare, and he's been following the vaccine trials and some other stories of note this week. Jay, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, April. Good to be here.
So we've got two main avenues of drug research underway in Michigan right now. Michigan Medicine is teamed up with the British pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca to test a vaccine created at Oxford. And in the meantime, Henry Ford Health System is also in the midst of a trial for what's called an mRNA vaccine developed by a company here in the States called Moderna. We learned this week that the AstraZeneca trials in the UK were paused because of an unexplained illness. Now, Jay, this was not a case in Michigan, correct?
No, this is somewhere in London where a male patient started to develop some severe neurological problems. I believe it had to do with myelitis in his spine. And it sounds like it was a very severe case. So the word was that they just paused the trial. And as far as I know, Michigan Medicine is still recruiting. So I don't believe that they've stopped their recruiting. They started in late August, early September, about a month after Henry Ford started recruiting for the Moderna vaccine trial. But all the testing, actual testing on the volunteers has been paused, and no other news has come out about that.
Huh. I don't know much about the structure of how these clinical trials work when they're being conducted sometimes across oceans. So you're saying that the research in Michigan may not necessarily be stopped just because what's happening over there was paused?
Yeah, well, they're still recruiting the patients. One of the things about these clinical trials is that they make certain things public, and then they keep other things very secret. The AstraZeneca trial is scheduled to be at either 60 or 80 different sites in the United States for a total of 30,000 people, 15,000 who would get the saline placebo and 15,000 that would get the actual vaccine. It takes a while to get volunteers in each one of these trial sites. And Michigan Medicine, if you do the math, I mean, it's less than 1,000 people that they would be required under this contract to recruit. And I believe it's from ages 18 to 65. And they try to get a cross-section of the community in there. So there's still, I mean, there's a lot of interest in the COVID vaccine.
Right. That's probably an understatement at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're getting a lot of volunteers, but they can't take everyone. And so I have asked Michigan Medicine and Henry Ford about this, and I haven't gotten much back. I'm going to do a story next week on the concerns that the African American Black community has about the low numbers of Blacks and other minorities in these studies. And I'm trying to get interviews with Henry Ford and Michigan Medicine. But I do believe that they are still interviewing people. It's a long interview process before they can be put on the list. And
sure.
I don't know if AstraZeneca lifts this pause. I'm not sure when. It may be a couple of weeks after that before people in Michigan actually get that vaccine.
Jay, there's another story you've been reporting we wanted to ask you about. A former board member and trustee at Beaumont Health has raised concerns with Michigan's Attorney General Dana Nessel asking for the removal of Beaumont's CEO, John Fox. Now, the board member is Mark Shevsky. Can you explain who he is and sort of what kind of standing he has on the Beaumont board?
He was on the board for 17 years until 2014. That was about the time that the ill-fated merger between Henry Ford and Beaumont collapsed. So he left the board at that point. And I believe when he left, he was vice chairman. He's an attorney in Southeast Michigan and is a donor and a heavy supporter of Beaumont. And he's just like a number of people, very concerned about Beaumont's management decisions the past two or three years and the proposed merger with Advocate Aurora of Chicago.
Shevke said that there was a survey of doctors at Beaumont that showed that these key physicians did not have confidence in Fox. It was sort of a vote of no confidence, but that the results of that survey was suppressed. I mean, it can be telling about staff morale, but could something like that actually stop the merger if it had been made public?
Well, you have to understand, Beaumont is a 1,000-bed, it's a flagship facility of Beaumont Health, eight hospital system based in Southfield. It's basically the second best hospital of Michigan after the University of Michigan. It's got 19 nationally ranked clinical programs. It's no slouch. It spends $300 million a year on capital projects. It probably raises half that much a year. There's a lot of interest in Beaumont Health. But the one thing that Beaumont has gotten away from, I don't know if you remember this advertising campaign, do you have a Beaumont doctor? Mm-hmm. The doctors used to essentially run the hospital. They're very used to asking for things and getting them. That hasn't been the case, really, since the Affordable Care Act came into effect, cut Medicare payments. And also since John Fox has been there, he's brought in a new kind of management style and a new culture. So the doctors, there's been two physician surveys. They weren't so much suppressed as discouraged among some Beaumont executives and high-ranking Beaumont-employed doctors, chiefs of departments. There's also a nursing survey. Both showed 80% or more dissatisfaction with Beaumont's management, opposition to the merger. It really started spilling out those complaints to these major donors like Mark Shevke. There's other donors that are involved. I shouldn't name them right now, but they've all got wings and departments named after them. And they have been talking with the Beaumont board, talking with Beaumont management about these issues, and they've been essentially blocked. And that's what Shevke told me yesterday, that he sent that letter to A.G. Nessel out of frustration that their voices weren't being heard. And he thought that she might be able to take some action. Now, she probably won't be able to take any action unless the board of Beaumont, the board of advocate, gives final approval to the letter of intent.
So what are you hearing about whether Advocate Aurora is still interested in this merger after this information came out?
Yeah, I interviewed Jim Scogsworth, the CEO of Advocate Aurora, about 2 weeks ago, and he believes that this is a temporary issue, as does John Fox, that the doctors will get over it or that it'll just blow over. I was told by Shevke, who's in contact with some board members, that both boards, and I've reported this too, late this fall at a board meeting, they'll vote for the merger. There is a minority of board members that, and it's been growing, who are getting opposed to this. And so time will tell whether more donors, if they come out in support of Shevke, and Shevke, let's be clear, he wants John Fox, CEO, fired, Carolyn Wilson, COO, fired, and Dr. David Wood, chief medical officer, fired. He wants essentially Nestle to disallow the merger. If she does allow the merger, he wants certain guarantees written in to any merger approval. Similarly to what happened when Vanguard acquired DMC and AG Mike Cox required Vanguard, the owner at the time, to spend $750 million. So she could take some action. However, I am hearing from the maybe wishful thinking that the Beaumont board will terminate this merger and John Fox will retire and they'll hire a new CEO who's a physician. That's what people, I guess, are hoping for. That's what I hear everybody talking about. And I know a couple of board members would like to do that.
Jay, heady politics when it comes to internal nonprofit board stories. But what do you think this story tells us about shifts in power in the medical industry over recent years?
Well, I've been covering healthcare now, I hate to say it, for 40 years. And the composition and the power, let's say, of boards has changed dramatically. The chairman of the boards used to be almost the main spokesman. You could call him or her up and ask them, what about this or what about that? And sometimes you call the CEO up and he or she would refer you to the chairman. That's totally changed. Boards now are subservient in many cases to the CEO and the top management. Basically, they're done what they're told. I've spoken with a number of top level executives and board people, consultants, and this appears to be the case at Beaumont. But it really is hard to understand how you've got more than two dozen top doctors at Beaumont that have either resigned, quit, were fired. Beaumont sold a number of businesses and really cut expenses to the point where these doctors and nurses, and now Shefsky is saying these are causing patient safety concerns. It's hard to imagine that boards are oblivious to these complaints and only would listen to a CEO or a management team. So I would think it will have some effect. But the other thing that's happening is that there's a lot of hospitals are monkey see, monkey do. If one hospital executive says, we need to be bigger to be better, we need size to improve our quality and get a lower bond rating and hire the best CEOs, other hospitals will do the same thing. And that seems to be the case with Beaumont. They want to be bigger. They think bigger is better. And Shefsky vehemently disagrees with this position. This has been happening for years and years. There's no evidence that merger reduces costs to consumers, improves quality, yet they do it anyway. So we'll see what happens.
Jay Green is a senior reporter at Crain's Detroit Business. Jay, thank you so much for your time and expertise on this.
Okay, no problem, April. Have a good day.